famine began. Their first son was named Manasseh, which means, God has let me forget all my troubles and my family back home. His second son was named Ephraim, which means, God has made me a success in the land where I suffered. Egypt's 7 years of plenty came to an end, and the 7 years of famine began, just as Joseph had said. There was not enough food in other countries, but all over Egypt there was plenty. When the famine finally struck Egypt, the people asked the king for food, but he said, Go to Joseph and do what he tells you to do. The famine became bad everywhere in Egypt, so Joseph opened the storehouses and sold the grain to the Egyptians. People from all over the world came to Egypt, because the famine was severe in their countries. Joseph's brothers go to Egypt to buy grain. Chapter 42. When Jacob found out there was grain in Egypt, he said to his sons, Why are you just sitting here staring at one another? I have heard there is grain in Egypt. Now go down and buy some, so we won't starve to death. 10 of Joseph's brothers went to Egypt to buy grain. But Jacob did not send Joseph's younger brother, Benjamin, with them. He was afraid that something might happen to him. So Jacob's sons joined others from Canaan who were going to Egypt because of the terrible famine. Since Joseph was governor of Egypt and in charge of selling grain, his brothers came to him and bowed with their faces to the ground. They did not recognize Joseph, but right away he knew who they were, though he pretended not to know. Instead, he spoke harshly and asked, Where do you come from? From the land of Canaan, they answered. We've come here to buy grain. Joseph remembered what he had dreamed about them and said, You're spies. You've come here to find out where our country is weak. No, sir, they replied. We're your servants, and we have only come to buy grain. We're honest men, and we come from the same family. We're not spies. That isn't so, Joseph insisted. You've come here to find out where our country is weak. But they explained, Sir, we come from a family of 12 brothers. The youngest is still with our father in Canaan, and one of our brothers is dead. Joseph replied, It's just like I said. You're spies, and I'm going to find out who you really are. I swear by the life of the king that you won't leave this place until your youngest brother comes here. Choose one of you to go after your brother while the rest of you stay here in jail. That will show whether you are telling the truth. But if you are lying, I swear by the life of the king that you are spies. Joseph kept them all under guard for 3 days before saying to them, Since I respect God, I'll give you a chance to save your lives. If you are honest men, one of you must stay here in jail, and the rest of you can take the grain back to your starving families. But you must bring your youngest brother to me. Then I'll know that you are telling the truth, and you won't be put to death. Joseph's brothers agreed, and said to one another, We're being punished because of Joseph. We saw the trouble he was in, but we refused to help him when he begged us. That's why these terrible things are happening. Reuben spoke up. Didn't I tell you not to harm the boy? But you wouldn't listen. And now we have to pay the price for killing him. They did not know that Joseph could understand them, since he was speaking through an interpreter. Joseph turned away from them and cried. But soon he turned back and spoke to them again. Then he had Simeon tied up and taken away while they watched. Joseph's brothers returned to Canaan. Joseph gave orders for his brothers' grain sacks to be filled with grain and for their money to be put in their sacks. He also gave orders for them to be given food for their journey home. After this was done, they each loaded the grain on their donkeys and left. When they stopped for the night, one of them opened his sack to get some grain for his donkey, and right away he saw his money bag. Here's my money, he told his brothers, right here in my sack. They were trembling with fear as they stared at one another and asked themselves, what has God done to us? When they returned to the land of Canaan, they told their father Jacob everything that had happened to them. The governor of Egypt was rude and treated us like spies, but we told him we're honest men, not spies. We come from a family of 12 brothers. The youngest is still with our father in Canaan, and the other is dead. Then the governor of Egypt told us, I'll find out if you're really honest. Leave one of your brothers here with me while you take the grain to your starving families. But bring your youngest brother to me so I can be certain that you are honest men and not spies. After that, I'll let your other brother go free, and you can stay here and trade. When the brothers started emptying their sacks of grain, they found their money bags in them. They were frightened, and so was their father Jacob, who said, You have already taken my sons Joseph and Simeon from me, and now you want to take away Benjamin? Everything is against me. Reuben spoke up, Father, if I don't bring Benjamin back, you can kill both of my sons. Trust me with him, and I will bring him back. But Jacob said, I won't let my son Benjamin go down to Egypt with the rest of you. His brother is already dead, and he is the only son I have left. I am an old man, and if anything happens to him on the way, I'll die from sorrow, and all of you will be to blame. Joseph's brothers return to Egypt with Benjamin. Chapter 43. The famine in Canaan got worse, until finally Jacob's family had eaten all the grain they had bought in Egypt. So Jacob said to his sons, Go back and buy some more grain. Judah replied, The governor strictly warned us that we would not be allowed to see him unless we brought our youngest brother with us. If you let us take Benjamin along, we will go and buy grain, but we won't go without him. Jacob asked, Why did you cause me so much trouble by telling the governor you had another brother? They answered, He asked a lot of questions about us and our family. He wanted to know if you were still alive and if we had any more brothers. All we could do was answer his questions. How could we know he would tell us to bring along our brother? Then Judah said to his father, Let Benjamin go with me, and we will leave right away so that none of us will starve to death. I promise to bring him back safely, and if I don't, you can blame me as long as I live. If we had not wasted all this time, we could already have been there and back twice. Their father said, If Benjamin must go with you, take the governor a gift of some of the best things from our own country, such as perfume, honey, spices, pistachio nuts, and almonds. Also, take along twice the amount of money for the grain, because there must have been some mistake when the money was put back in your sacks. Take Benjamin with you, and leave right away. When you go in to see the governor, I pray that God All-Powerful will be good to you, and that the governor will let your other brother and Benjamin come back home with you. If I must lose my children, I suppose I must. The brothers took the gifts, twice the amount of money, and Benjamin. Then they hurried off to Egypt. When they stood in front of Joseph, he saw Benjamin and told the servant in charge of his house, Take these men to my house, slaughter an animal and cook it, so they can eat with me at noon. The servant did as he was told and took the brothers to Joseph's house. But on the way, they got worried and started thinking, We are being taken there because of the money that was put back in our sacks last time. He will arrest us, make us his slaves, and take our donkeys. So when they arrived at Joseph's house, they said to the servant in charge, Sir, we came to Egypt once before to buy grain. But when we stopped for the night, we each found in our grain sacks the exact amount we had paid. We have brought that money back, together with enough money to buy more grain. We don't know who put the money in our sacks. It's all right, the servant replied. Don't worry. The God you and your father worship must have put the money there, because I received your payment in full. Then he brought Simeon out to them. The servant took them into Joseph's house and gave them water to wash their feet. He also tended their donkeys. The brothers got their gifts ready to give to Joseph at noon, since they had heard they were going to eat there. When Joseph came home, they gave him the gifts they had brought, and they bowed down to him. After Joseph had asked how they were, he said, "What about your elderly father? Is he still alive?" They answered, "Your servant, our father, is still alive and well." And again they bowed down to Joseph. When Joseph looked around and saw his brother Benjamin, he said, "This must be your youngest brother, the one you told me about. God bless you, my son." Right away, he rushed off to his room and cried because of his love for Benjamin. After washing his face and returning, he was able to control himself and said, "Serve the meal." Joseph was served at a table by himself, and his brothers were served at another. The Egyptians sat at yet another table, because Egyptians felt it was disgusting to eat with Hebrews. To the surprise of Joseph's brothers, they were seated in front of him according to their ages, from the oldest to the youngest. They were served food from Joseph's table, and Benjamin was given 5 times as much as each of the others. So Joseph's brothers drank with him and had a good time. The Missing Cup, Chapter 44. Later, Joseph told the servant in charge of his house, "Fill the men's grain sacks with as much as they can hold and put their money in the sacks. Also, put my silver cup in the sack of the youngest brother." The servant did as he was told. Early the next morning, the men were sent on their way with their donkeys, but they had not gone far from the city when Joseph told the servant, "Go after those men. When you catch them, say, 'My master has been good to you, so why have you stolen his silver cup?' Not only does he drink from his cup, but he also uses it to learn about the future. You have done a terrible thing." When the servant caught up with them, he said exactly what Joseph had told him to say. But they replied, "Sir, why do you say such things? We would never do anything like that. We even returned the money we had found in our grain sacks when we got back to Canaan. So why would we want to steal any silver or gold from your master's house? If you find that one of us has the cup, then kill him and the rest of us will become your slaves." "Good," the man replied. "I'll do what you have said. But only the one who has the cup will become my slave. The rest of you can go free." Each of the brothers quickly put his sack on the ground and opened it. Joseph's servant started searching the sacks, beginning with the one that belonged to the oldest brother. When he came to Benjamin's sack, he found the cup. This upset the brothers so much that they began tearing their clothes in sorrow. Then they loaded their donkeys and returned to the city. When Judah and his brothers got there, Joseph was still at home. So they bowed down to Joseph, who asked them, "What have you done? Didn't you know I could find out?"
"Sir, what can we say?" Judah replied. "How can we prove we are innocent? God has shown that we are guilty, and now all of us are your slaves, especially the one who had the cup."
Joseph told them, "I would never punish all of you. Only the one who was caught with the cup will become my slave. The rest of you are free to go home to your father." Judah pleads for Benjamin. Judah went over to Joseph and said, "Sir, you have as much power as the king himself, and I am only your slave. Please don't get angry if I speak. You asked us if our father was still alive and if we had any more brothers. So we told you, 'Our father is a very old man. In fact, he was already old when Benjamin was born. Benjamin's brother is dead. Now Benjamin is the only one of the two brothers who is still alive, and our father loves him very much. You ordered us to bring him here, so you could see him for yourself. We told you that our father would die if Benjamin left him.
But you warned us that we could never see you again, unless our youngest brother came with us. So we returned to our father and reported what you had said. Later, our father told us to come back here and buy more grain. But we answered, we can't go back to Egypt without our youngest brother. We will never be let in to see the governor unless he is with us. Sir, our father then reminded us that his favorite wife had given birth to two sons. One of them was already missing and had not been seen for a long time. My father thinks the boy was torn to pieces by some wild animal, and he said, I'm an old man. If you take Benjamin from me and something happens to him, I will die of a broken heart. That's why Benjamin must be with us when I go back to my father. He loves him so much that he will die if Benjamin doesn't come back with me. I promised my father that I would bring him safely home. If I don't, I told my father he could blame me the rest of my life. Sir, I am your slave. Please let me stay here in place of Benjamin and let him return home with his brothers. How can I face my father if Benjamin isn't with me? I couldn't bear to see my father in such sorrow. Joseph tells his brothers who he is. Chapter 45. Since Joseph could no longer control his feelings in front of his servants, he sent them out of the room. When he was alone with his brothers, he told them, I am Joseph. Then he cried so loudly that the Egyptians heard him and told about it in the king's palace. Joseph asked his brothers if his father was still alive, but they were too frightened to answer. Joseph told them to come closer to him, and when they did, he said, Yes, I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. Don't worry or blame yourselves for what you did. God is the one who sent me ahead of you to save lives. There has already been a famine for 2 years, and for 5 more years no one will plow fields or harvest grain. But God sent me on ahead of you to keep your families alive and to save you in this wonderful way. After all, you weren't really the ones who sent me here. It was God. He made me the highest official in the king's court and placed me over all Egypt. Now hurry back and tell my father that his son Joseph says, God has made me ruler of Egypt. Come here as quickly as you can. You will live near me in the region of Goshen with your children and grandchildren, as well as with your sheep, goats, cattle, and everything else you own. I will take care of you there during the next 5 years of famine. But if you don't come, you and your family and your animals will starve to death. All of you, including my brother Benjamin, can tell by what I have said that I really am Joseph. Tell my father about my great power here in Egypt and about everything you have seen. Hurry and bring him here. Joseph and Benjamin hugged each other and started crying. Joseph was still crying as he kissed each of his other brothers. After this, they started talking with Joseph. When it was told in the palace that Joseph's brothers had come, the king and his officials were happy. So the king said to Joseph, Tell your brothers to load their donkeys and return to Canaan. Have them bring their father and their families here. I will give them the best land in Egypt, and they can eat and enjoy everything that grows on it. Also, tell your brothers to take some wagons from Egypt for their wives and children to ride in. And be sure to have them bring their father. They can leave their possessions behind, because they will be given the best of everything in Egypt. Jacob's sons agreed to do what the king had said. And Joseph gave them wagons and food for their trip home, just as the king had ordered. Joseph gave some new clothes to each of his brothers. But to Benjamin, he gave 5 new outfits and 300 pieces of silver. To his father, he sent 10 donkeys loaded with the best things in Egypt, and 10 other donkeys loaded with grain and bread and other food for the return trip. Then he sent his brothers off and told them, Don't argue on the way home. Joseph's brothers left Egypt, and when they arrived in Canaan, they told their father that Joseph was still alive and was the ruler of Egypt. But their father was so surprised that he could not believe them. Then they told him everything Joseph had said. When he saw the wagons Joseph had sent, he felt much better and said, "Now I can believe you. My son Joseph must really be alive, and I will get to see him before I die." Jacob and his family go to Egypt. Chapter 46. Jacob packed up everything he owned and left for Egypt. On the way he stopped near the town of Beersheba and offered sacrifices to the god his father Isaac had worshipped. That night, God spoke to him and said, "Jacob, Jacob."
"Here I am," Jacob answered.
God said, "I am God, the same God your father worshipped. Don't be afraid to go to Egypt. I will give you so many descendants that one day they will become a nation. I will go with you to Egypt, and later I will bring your descendants back here. Your son Joseph will be at your side when you die." Jacob and his family set out from Beersheba and headed for Egypt. His sons put him in the wagon that the king had sent for him, and they put their small children and their wives in the other wagons. Jacob's whole family went to Egypt, including his sons, his grandsons, his daughters, and his granddaughters. They took along their animals and everything else they owned. When Jacob went to Egypt, his children who were born in northern Syria also went along with their families. Jacob and his wife Leah had a total of 33 children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren, but two of their grandchildren had died in Canaan. Their oldest son Reuben took his sons Hanok, Palu, Hezron, and Carmi. Their son Simeon took his sons Jemuel, Jamin, Ohad, Jachin, Zohar, and Sheol, whose mother was a Canaanite. Their son Levi took his sons Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. Their son Judah took his sons Shelah, Perez, and Zerah. Judah's sons and Onan had died in Canaan. Judah's son Perez took his sons Hezron and Hamul. Their son Issachar took his sons Tola, Puva, Jashub, and Shimron. Their son Zebulun took his sons Sered, Elon, and Jaleel. Their daughter Dinah also went. Jacob and Zilpah, the servant woman Laban had given his daughter Leah, had a total of 16 children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. Their son Gad took his sons Ziphion, Haggai, Shunai, Ezbon, Eri, Aradai, and Areli. Their son Asher took his sons Imnah, Ishva, Ishvi, and Beriah, who took his sons Heber, and Malkiel. Sarah, the daughter of Asher, also went. Jacob and Rachel had 14 children and grandchildren. Their son Joseph was already in Egypt, where he had married Asenath, daughter of Potipharah, the priest of Heliopolis. Joseph and Asenath had two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. Jacob and Rachel's son Benjamin took his sons Bela, Beker, Ashbel, Gera, Naaman, Ehi, Rosh, Muppim, Huppim, and Ard. Jacob and Bilhah, the servant woman Laban had given his daughter Rachel, had 7 children and grandchildren. Their son Dan took his son Hushim. Their son Naphtali took his sons Jaziel, Guni, Jezer, and Shillem. 66 members of Jacob's family went to Egypt with him, not counting his daughters-in-law. Jacob's 2 grandsons who were born there made it a total of 70 members of Jacob's family in Egypt. Jacob had sent his son Judah ahead of him to ask Joseph to meet them in Goshen. So Joseph got in his chariot and went to meet his father. When they met, Joseph hugged his father around the neck and cried for a long time. Jacob said to Joseph, "Now that I have seen you and know that you are still alive, I am ready to die." Then Joseph said to his brothers and to everyone who had come with them, "I must go and tell the king that you have arrived from Canaan. I will tell him that you are shepherds, and that you have brought your sheep, goats, cattle, and everything else you own. The king will call you in and ask what you do for a living. When he does, be sure to say, 'We are shepherds. Our families have always raised sheep.' If you tell him this, he will let you settle in the region of Goshen." Joseph wanted them to say this to the king, because the Egyptians did not like to be around anyone who raised sheep. Chapter 47. Joseph took five of his brothers to the king and told him, "My father and my brothers have come from Canaan. They have brought their sheep, goats, cattle, and everything else they own to the region of Goshen." Then he introduced his brothers to the king, who asked them, "What do you do for a living?" "Sir, we are shepherds," was their answer. "Our families have always raised sheep, but in our country all the pastures are dried up, and our sheep have no grass to eat. So we, your servants, have come here. Please let us live in the region of Goshen." The king said to Joseph, "It's good that your father and brothers have arrived. I will let them live anywhere they choose in the land of Egypt, but I suggest that they settle in Goshen, the best part of our land. I would also like for your finest shepherds to watch after my own sheep and goats." Then Joseph brought his father Jacob and introduced him to the king. Jacob gave the king his blessing, and the king asked him, "How old are you?" Jacob answered, "I have lived only 130 years, and I have had to move from place to place. My parents and my grandparents also had to move from place to place, but they lived much longer, and their life was not as hard as mine." Then Jacob gave the king his blessing once again and left. Joseph obeyed the king's orders and gave his father and brothers some of the best land in Egypt near the city of Ramesses. Joseph also provided food for their families. A famine in Egypt. The famine was bad everywhere in Egypt and Canaan, and the people were suffering terribly. So Joseph sold them the grain that had been stored up, and he put the money in the king's treasury. But when everyone had run out of money, the Egyptians came to Joseph and demanded, "Give us more grain. If you don't, we'll soon be dead, because our money's all gone." "If you don't have any money," Joseph answered, "give me your animals, and I'll let you have some grain." From then on, they brought him their horses and donkeys and their sheep and goats in exchange for grain. Within a year, Joseph had collected every animal in Egypt. Then the people came to him and said, "Sir, there's no way we can hide the truth from you. We are broke, and we don't have any more animals. We have nothing left except ourselves and our land. Don't let us starve and our land be ruined. If you'll give us grain to eat and seed to plant, we'll sell ourselves and our land to the king. We'll become his slaves." The famine became so severe that Joseph finally bought every piece of land in Egypt for the king and made everyone the king's slaves, except the priests. The king gave the priests a regular food allowance so they did not have to sell their land. Then Joseph said to the people, "You and your land now belong to the king. I'm giving you seed to plant. But 1/5 of your crops must go to the king. You can keep the rest as seed or as food for your families."
"Sir, you have saved our lives," they answered. "We are glad to be slaves of the king."
Then Joseph made a law that 1/5 of the harvest would always belong to the king. Only the priests did not lose their land. Jacob becomes an old man. The people of Israel made their home in the land of Goshen, where they became prosperous and had large families. Jacob himself lived there for 17 years before dying at the age of 147.
When Jacob knew he did not have long to live, he called in Joseph and said,
"If you really love me, you must make a solemn promise not to bury me in Egypt. Instead, bury me in the place where my ancestors are buried."
"I will do what you have asked," Joseph answered. "Will you give me your word?" Jacob asked.
"Yes, I will," Joseph promised.
After this, Jacob bowed down and prayed at the head of his bed. Jacob blesses Joseph's two sons. Chapter 48. Joseph was told that his father Jacob had become very sick. So Joseph went to see him and took along his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. When Joseph arrived, someone told Jacob, "Your son Joseph has come to see you." Jacob sat up in bed, but it took almost all his strength. Jacob told Joseph, "God All-Powerful appeared to me at Luz in the land of Canaan, where he gave me his blessing and promised, 'I will give you a large family with many descendants that will grow into a nation, and I am giving you this land that will belong to you and your family forever.'" Then Jacob went on to say, "Joseph, your two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, were born in Egypt, but I accept them as my own, just as Reuben and Simeon are mine. Any children you have later will be considered yours, but their inheritance will come from Ephraim and Manasseh. Unfortunately, your mother Rachel died in Canaan after we had left northern Syria and before we reached Bethlehem, and I had to bury her along the way." Jacob was very old and almost blind. He did not recognize the two boys, and so he asked Joseph, "Who are these boys?" Joseph answered, "They are my sons. God has given them to me here in Egypt."
"Bring them to me," Jacob said. "I want to give them my blessing."
Joseph brought the boys to him, and he hugged and kissed them. Jacob turned to Joseph and told him, "For many years I thought you were dead and that I would never see you again. But now God has even let me live to see your children." Then Joseph made his sons move away from Jacob's knees, and Joseph bowed down in front of him with his face to the ground. After Joseph got up, he brought his two sons over to Jacob again. He led his younger son Ephraim to the left side of Jacob and his older son Manasseh to the right. But before Jacob gave them his blessing, he crossed his arms, putting his right hand on the head of Ephraim and his left hand on the head of Manasseh. Then he gave Joseph his blessing and said, "My grandfather Abraham and my father Isaac worshiped the Lord God. He has been with me all my life, and his angel has kept me safe. Now I pray that he will bless these boys, and that my name and the names of Abraham and Isaac will live on because of them. I ask God to give them many children and many descendants as well." Joseph did not like it when he saw his father place his right hand on the head of the younger son. So he tried to move his father's right hand from Ephraim's head and place it on Manasseh. Joseph said, "Father, you have made a mistake. This is the older boy. Put your right hand on him." But his father said, "Son, I know what I am doing. It's true that Manasseh's family will someday become a great nation. But Ephraim will be even greater than Manasseh, because his descendants will become many great nations." Jacob told him that in the future the people of Israel would ask God's blessings on one another by saying, "I pray for God to bless you as much as he blessed Ephraim and Manasseh." Jacob put Ephraim's name first to show that he would be greater than Manasseh. After that, Jacob said, "Joseph, you can see that I won't live much longer, but God will be with you and will lead you back to the land he promised our family long ago. Meanwhile, I'm giving you the hillside I captured from the Amorites." Jacob blesses his sons. Chapter 49. Jacob called his sons together and said, "My sons, I am Jacob, your father Israel. Come, gather around as I tell your future. Reuben, you are my oldest, born at the peak of my powers. You were an honored leader. Uncontrollable as a flood, you slept with my wife and disgraced my bed. And so you no longer deserve the place of honor. Simeon and Levi, you are brothers, each a gruesome sword. I never want to take part in your plans or deeds. You slaughtered people in your anger, and you crippled cattle for no reason. Now I place a curse on you because of your fierce anger. Your descendants will be scattered among the tribes of Israel. Judah, you will be praised by your brothers. They will bow down to you as you defeat your enemies. My son, you are a lion ready to eat your victim. You are terribly fierce. No one will bother you. You will have power and rule until nations obey you and come bringing gifts. You will tie your donkey to a choice grapevine and wash your clothes in wine from those grapes. Your eyes are darker than wine, your teeth whiter than milk. Zebulun, you will settle along the seashore and provide safe harbors as far north as Sidon. Issachar, you are a strong donkey, resting in the meadows. You found them so pleasant that you worked too hard and became a slave. Dan, you are the tribe that will bring justice to Israel. You are a snake that bites the heel of a horse, making its rider fall. Our Lord, I am waiting for you to save us. Gad, you will be attacked, then attack your attackers. Asher, you will eat food fancy enough for a king. Naphtali, you are a wild deer with lovely fawns. Joseph, you are a fruitful vine growing near a stream and climbing a wall. Enemies attacked with arrows, refusing to show mercy. But you stood your ground, swiftly shooting back with the help of Jacob's God, the All-Powerful One. His name is the Shepherd, Israel's mighty rock. Your help came from the God your father worshipped, from God All-Powerful. God will bless you with rain and streams from the earth. He will bless you with many descendants. My son, the blessings I give are better than the promise of ancient mountains or eternal hills. Joseph, I pray these blessings will come to you, because you are the leader of your brothers. Benjamin, you are a fierce wolf, destroying your enemies morning and evening. These are the 12 tribes of Israel, and this is how Jacob gave each of them their proper blessings. Jacob's death. Jacob told his sons, "Soon I will die, and I want you to bury me in Machpelah cave." Abraham bought this cave as a burial place from Ephron the Hittite, and it is near the town of Mamre in Canaan. Abraham and Sarah are buried there, and so are Isaac and Rebekah. I buried Leah there too. Both the cave and the land that goes with it were bought from the Hittites. When Jacob had finished giving these instructions to his sons, he lay down on his bed and died. Chapter 50. Joseph started crying, then leaned over to hug and kiss his father. Joseph gave orders for Jacob's body to be embalmed, and it took the usual 40 days. The Egyptians mourned 70 days for Jacob. When the time of mourning was over, Joseph said to the Egyptian leaders, "If you consider me your friend, please speak to the king for me. Just before my father died, he made me promise to bury him in his burial cave in Canaan. If the king will give me permission to go, I will come back here." The king answered, "Go to Canaan and keep your promise to your father." When Joseph left Goshen with his brothers, his relatives, and his father's relatives to bury Jacob,
Many of the king's highest officials and even his military chariots and cavalry went along. The Israelites left behind only their children, their cattle, and their sheep and goats. After crossing the Jordan River and reaching Achan's threshing place, Joseph had everyone mourn and weep 7 days for his father. The Canaanites saw this and said, "The Egyptians are in great sorrow." Then they named the place Egypt in Sorrow. So Jacob's sons did just as their father had instructed. They took him to Canaan and buried him in Machpelah cave, the burial place Abraham had bought from Ephron the Hittite. After the funeral, Joseph, his brothers, and everyone else returned to Egypt. Joseph's promise to his brothers. After Jacob died, Joseph's brothers said to each other, "What if Joseph still hates us and wants to get even with us for all the cruel things we did to him?" So they sent their message to Joseph. "Before our father died, he told us, 'You did some cruel and terrible things to Joseph, but you must ask him to forgive you.' Now we ask you to please forgive the terrible things we did. After all, we serve the same God that your father worshipped." When Joseph heard this, he started crying. Right then, Joseph's brothers came and bowed down to the ground in front of him and said, "We are your slaves." But Joseph told them, "Don't be afraid. I have no right to change what God has decided. You tried to harm me, but God made it turn out for the best, so that he could save all these people as he is now doing. Don't be afraid. I will take care of you and your children." After Joseph said this, his brothers felt much better. Joseph's death. Joseph lived in Egypt with his brothers until he died at the age of 110. Joseph lived long enough to see Ephraim's children and grandchildren. He also lived to see the children of Manasseh's son, Machir, and he welcomed them into his family. Before Joseph died, he told his brothers, "I won't live much longer, but God will take care of you and lead you out of Egypt to the land he promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now promise me that you will take my body with you when God leads you to that land." So Joseph died in Egypt at the age of 110. His body was embalmed and put in a coffin.
You have been listening to The Holy Bible, the Book of Genesis, narrated by George Goodell, Suzanne Torin, and Jonathan Davis. The Book of Exodus, narrated by George Goodell.
Exodus. About this book. The title Exodus comes from a Greek word meaning going out. And this book tells how the Lord set his people Israel free from slavery and brought them out of Egypt. The book of Exodus teaches that the Lord is the one true God and the ruler of all creation. And when the Lord decides to do something, no one can stop him. Exodus can be divided into three parts. Most of the events in the first part take place in Egypt, where the people of Israel had been made slaves by the king. The Lord heard their cries for help and chose Moses to set them free. Moses was an Israelite who had been adopted by an Egyptian princess. When Moses demanded that the Israelites be set free, the king refused. And so the Lord told Moses to bring 10 disasters on Egypt. These disasters have often been called the 10 plagues. Finally, the king let the Israelites leave Egypt. The second part of the book includes events that happened while the people of Israel were on their way to Mount Sinai, God's holy mountain. The king of Egypt quickly changed his mind about setting them free, and he ordered his army to capture them. But the Lord protected Israel and destroyed the Egyptian army. Then, As the Israelites traveled through the desert, the Lord provided food and water for them. The final part of Exodus takes place at Mount Sinai, where the Lord appeared to Moses. The Lord gave him the Ten Commandments, as well as laws for worship, sacrifice, and everyday life, and instructions on making the sacred tent and its furnishings, the altars, and the priestly clothes. But this part also tells how the people made an idol and disobeyed the first of the Ten Commandments. I am the Lord your God, the one who brought you out of Egypt where you were slaves. Do not worship any god except me. The people of Israel suffer. Chapter 1. When Jacob went to Egypt, his son Joseph was already there. So Jacob took his 11 other sons and their families. They were Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, Benjamin, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. Altogether, Jacob had 70 children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren who went with him. After Joseph, his brothers, and everyone else in that generation had died, the people of Israel became so numerous that the whole region of Goshen was full of them. Many years later, a new king came to power. He did not know what Joseph had done for Egypt, and he told the Egyptians, "There are too many of those Israelites in our country, and they are becoming more powerful than we are. If we don't outsmart them, their families will keep growing larger, and if our country goes to war, they could easily fight on the side of our enemies and escape from Egypt." The Egyptians put slave bosses in charge of the people of Israel, and tried to wear them down with hard work. Those bosses forced them to build the cities of Pithom and Ramesses, where the king could store his supplies. But even though the Israelites were mistreated, their families grew larger, and they took over more land. Because of this, the Egyptians hated them worse than before, and made them work so hard that their lives were miserable. The Egyptians were cruel to the people of Israel, and forced them to make bricks, and to mix mortar, and to work in the fields. Finally, the king called in Shiphrah and Puah, the two women who helped the Hebrew mothers when they gave birth. He told them, "If a Hebrew woman gives birth to a girl, let the child live. If the baby is a boy, kill him." But the two women were faithful to God, and did not kill the boys, even though the king had told them to. The king called them in again and asked, "Why are you letting those baby boys live?" They answered, "Hebrew women have their babies much quicker than Egyptian women. By the time we arrive, their babies are already born." God was good to the two women, because they truly respected him, and he blessed them with children of their own. The Hebrews kept increasing, until finally the king gave a command to everyone in the nation, "As soon as a Hebrew boy is born, throw him into the Nile River, but you can let the girls live." Moses is born. Chapter 2. A man from the Levi tribe married a woman from the same tribe, and she later had a baby boy. He was a beautiful child, and she kept him inside for 3 months. But when she could no longer keep him hidden, she made a basket out of reeds and covered it with tar. She put him in the basket and placed it in the tall grass along the edge of the Nile River. The baby's older sister stood off at a distance to see what would happen to him. About that time, one of the king's daughters came down to take a bath in the river while her servant women walked along the riverbank. She saw the basket in the tall grass and sent one of the young women to pull it out of the water. When the king's daughter opened the basket, she saw the baby and felt sorry for him because he was crying. She said, "This must be one of the Hebrew babies." At once the baby's older sister came up and asked, "Do you want me to get a Hebrew woman to take care of the baby for you?" "Yes," the king's daughter answered. So the girl brought the baby's mother, and the king's daughter told her, "Take care of this child, and I will pay you." the baby's mother carried him home and took care of him. And when he was old enough, she took him to the king's daughter, who adopted him. She named him Moses because, she said, I pulled him out of the water. Moses escapes from Egypt. After Moses had grown up, he went out to where his own people were hard at work, and he saw an Egyptian beating one of them. Moses looked around to see if anyone was watching, then he killed the Egyptian and hid his body in the sand. When Moses went out the next day, he saw two Hebrews fighting, so he went to the man who had started the fight and asked, "Why are you beating up one of your own people?" The man answered, "Who put you in charge of us and made you our judge? Are you planning to kill me just as you killed that Egyptian?" This frightened Moses because he was sure that people must have found out what had happened. When the king heard what Moses had done, the king wanted to kill him, but Moses escaped and went to the land of Midian. One day Moses was sitting there by a well when the seven daughters of Jethro, the priest of Midian, came up to water their father's sheep and goats. Some shepherds tried to chase them away, but Moses came to their rescue and watered their animals. When Jethro's daughters returned home, their father asked, "Why have you come back so early today?" They answered, "An Egyptian rescued us from the shepherds, and he even watered our sheep and goats." "Where is he?" Jethro asked. "Why did you leave him out there? Invite him to eat with us." Moses agreed to stay on with Jethro, who later let his daughter Zipporah marry Moses. And when she had a son, Moses said, "I will name him Gershom, since I am a foreigner in this country." After the death of the king of Egypt, the Israelites still complained because they were forced to be slaves. They cried out for help, and God heard their loud cries. He did not forget the promise he had made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And because he knew what was happening to his people, he felt sorry for them. God speaks to Moses. Chapter 3. One day Moses was taking care of the sheep and goats of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian, and Moses decided to lead them across the desert to Sinai, the holy mountain. There an angel of the Lord appeared to him from a burning bush. Moses saw that the bush was on fire, but it was not burning up. "This is strange," he said to himself. "I'll go over and see why the bush isn't burning up." When the Lord saw Moses coming near the bush, he called him by name, and Moses answered, "Here I am." God replied, "Don't come any closer. Take off your sandals. The ground where you are standing is holy. I am the God who was worshipped by your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Moses was afraid to look at God, and so he hid his face. The Lord said, "I have seen how my people are suffering as slaves in Egypt, and I have heard them beg for my help because of the way they are being mistreated. I feel sorry for them, and I have come down to rescue them from the Egyptians. I will bring my people out of Egypt into a country where there is good land, rich with milk and honey. I will give them the land where the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites now live. My people have begged for my help, and I have seen how cruel the Egyptians are to them. Now, go to the king. I am sending you to lead my people out of his country." But Moses said, "Who am I to go to the king and lead your people out of Egypt?" God replied, "I will be with you, and you will know that I am the one who sent you when you worship me on this mountain after you have led my people out of Egypt." Moses answered, "I will tell the people of Israel that the God their ancestors worshipped has sent me to them. But what should I say if they ask me your name?" God said to Moses, "I am the eternal God. So tell them that the Lord, whose name is I Am, has sent you. This is my name forever, and it is the name that people must use from now on. Call together the leaders of Israel and tell them that the God who was worshipped by Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob has appeared to you. Tell them I have seen how terribly they are being treated in Egypt, and I promise to lead them out of their troubles. I will give them a land rich with milk and honey, where the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites now live. The leaders of Israel will listen to you. Then you must take them to the king of Egypt and say, "The Lord God of the Hebrews has appeared to us. Let us walk 3 days into the desert where we can offer a sacrifice to him." But I know that the king of Egypt won't let you go unless something forces him to. So I will use my mighty power to perform all kinds of miracles and strike down the Egyptians. Then the king will send you away. After I punish the Egyptians, they will be so afraid of you that they will give you anything you want. You are my people, and I will let you take many things with you when you leave the land of Egypt. Every Israelite woman will go to her Egyptian neighbors or to any Egyptian woman living in her house. She will ask them for gold and silver jewelry and for their finest clothes. The Egyptians will give them to you, and you will put these fine things on your sons and daughters. You will carry all this away when you leave Egypt. The Lord gives great power to Moses. Chapter 4. Moses asked the Lord, "Suppose everyone refuses to listen to my message, and no one believes that you really appeared to me." The Lord answered, "What's that in your hand?" "A walking stick," Moses replied. "Throw it down," the Lord commanded. So Moses threw the stick on the ground. It immediately turned into a snake, and Moses jumped back. "Pick it up by the tail," the Lord told him. And when Moses did this, the snake turned back into a walking stick. "Do this," the Lord said, "and the Israelites will believe that you have seen me, the God who was worshipped by their ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Next, the Lord commanded Moses, "Put your hand inside your shirt." Moses obeyed, and when he took it out, his hand had turned white as snow, like someone with leprosy. "Put your hand back inside your shirt," the Lord told him. Moses did so, and when he took it out again, it was as healthy as the rest of his body. Then the Lord said, "If no one believes either of these miracles, take some water from the Nile River and pour it on the ground. The water will immediately turn into blood." Moses replied, "I have never been a good speaker. I wasn't one before you spoke to me, and I'm not one now. I am slow at speaking, and I can never think of what to say." But the Lord answered, "Who makes people able to speak, or makes them deaf or unable to speak? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Don't you know that I am the one who does these things? Now go. When you speak, I will be with you and give you the words to say." Moses begged, "Lord, please send someone else to do it." The Lord became irritated with Moses and said, "What about your brother Aaron, the Levite? I know he is a good speaker. He is already on his way here to visit you, and he will be happy to see you again. Aaron will speak to the people for you, and you will be like me, telling Aaron what to say. I will be with both of you as you speak, and I will tell each of you what to do. Now, take this walking stick and use it to perform miracles." Moses returns to Egypt. Moses went to his father-in-law Jethro and asked, "Please let me return to Egypt to see if any of my people are still alive." "All right," Jethro replied. "I hope all goes well." But even before this, the Lord had told Moses, "Leave the land of Midian and return to Egypt. Everyone who wanted to kill you is dead." So Moses put his wife and sons on donkeys and headed for Egypt, holding the walking stick that had the power of God. On the way, the Lord said to Moses, "When you get to Egypt, go to the king and work the miracles I have shown you. but I will make him so stubborn that he will refuse to let my people go. Then tell him that I have said, Israel is my firstborn son, and I commanded you to release him so he could worship me. But you refused, and now I will kill your firstborn son. Zipporah's son is circumcised. One night while Moses was in camp, the Lord was about to kill him. But Zipporah circumcised her son with a flint knife. She touched his legs with the skin she had cut off and said, My dear son, this blood will protect you. So the Lord did not harm Moses. Then Zipporah said, Yes, my dear, you are safe because of this circumcision. Aaron is sent to meet Moses. The Lord sent Aaron to meet Moses in the desert. So Aaron met Moses at Mount Sinai and greeted him with a kiss. Moses told Aaron what God had sent him to say. He also told him about the miracles God had given him the power to perform. Later they brought together the leaders of Israel, and Aaron told them what the Lord had sent Moses to say. Then Moses worked the miracles for the people, and everyone believed. They bowed down and worshipped the Lord because they knew that he had seen their suffering and was going to help them. Moses and Aaron go to the king of Egypt. Chapter 5. Moses and Aaron went to the king of Egypt and told him, The Lord God says, Let my people go into the desert so they can honor me with a celebration there. Who is this Lord and why should I obey him? The king replied, I refuse to let you and your people go. They answered, The Lord God of the Hebrews has appeared to us. Please, let us walk 3 days into the desert where we can offer sacrifices to him. If you don't, he may strike us down with terrible troubles or with war. The king said, Moses and